Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you've arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I'm your host, Brent Pope, and my guest today is Tomar Wilson. You have seen this dude on Broadway in Book of Mormon. He's done 3 different companies' versions of Hamilton. You ever heard of that show? He's also appeared on some of your favorite TV shows like Boardwalk Empire, Law & Order, a little movie called Frozen. I've seen that, and that's not all. We had breakfast from Patty's Restaurant in Toluca Lake, and it was terrific. So, it must be nice, must be nice. Tomar Wilson's on breakfast today. It must be nice, it must be nice. We have Tomar Wilson on breakfast today.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too.
I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Let me screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. Yeah. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Tomar Wilson, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
You just came off of a run of Hamilton where you were playing, depending on what night it was, you were kind of picking up George Washington, Lafayette, and Jefferson, or Aaron Burr.
Yeah.
Are you a crazy person? How do you...
Basically.
Do you know all those? I mean, that's insane.
It's a lot. I mean, I did that show for 4 years. And when I started, I got the offer to stand by for those 3 roles.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, I was like, there's no fucking way I can do that.
Yeah.
So I took the job and I was like, oh, you know what? I'll probably get fired in a couple months because how does anybody learn all of that? And the first track I learned was Lafayette and Jefferson. And I thought I was going to go crazy because once I started rehearsal, I realized I don't just have to know my stuff. I basically have to learn every word of the show.
Yep.
Because I have cues that Hamilton's rapping fast.
Yeah.
You know, there was a day in rehearsal where they were like, okay, you're going to enter on, if not, then I'll be Socrates throwing verbal rocks at these mediocrities. And I was like, wait, that's in this show? Like somebody says those words in this show. And I was like, we need to take a break because my mind just exploded.
Wow.
But after that, I learned every word in the show.
Okay.
And it was fine because then it becomes about knowing when to mute. I'm like, okay, these are not my lines. Put my mute on.
Yeah.
I'm this person today. I don't say that.
I would be terrified to go out there and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I have to look down like, oh, what costume am I wearing?
It happens. It's more like you hear cues from your other characters. Like if I'm playing Burr and I'm just kind of like standing back in a scene, like in a Jefferson scene or something, and I hear a music cue or something and my body kind of like does this like,
oh,
that's you. And I have to be like, nope, it's not me today. Like that was me yesterday.
Well, I remember we came to see you one night, Tress and I in the show, and you had done in the matinee Burr, right? Mm-hmm. And then at night you did Lafayette Jefferson.
Yeah. Happened a few times where, you know, two different parts in a day is really a mind fuck.
I bet.
Yeah. Because you feel like I just did this, but I didn't do this role. Like I'm doing something different than I was doing 3 hours ago in front of 2,000 people, you know?
Yeah. I feel mind fucked trying to remember just the lines to the first song of Hamilton when I'm walking with my earbuds in. I mean, so there's no...
I mean, it's also Hamilton's so popular, the audience will let you know if you fuck up.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I mean, I've seen the show like several times and I've never noticed anyone like, but I'm sure it happens all the time and it just goes by so quickly.
That's the thing. There are 100,000 words or something. Yeah. So if somebody messes up one, you catch it, but then you're onto something else and you forget about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of great. That's a great thing about performing is if you mess up, you still got 2 more hours to like get all those.
They won't remember that later.
Yeah. You messed up one word out of 10,000. It's fine. But I always tell people when they're coming to the show, like a lot of the younger guys who would have the same stress I had coming in, I was like, you know what? Just keep the rhythm in your head. If you lose the words, just keep talking. Like keep like saying syllables.
Right.
Because if you completely lose it and get off, there's no way you're coming back.
You can't catch.
But if you keep the syllables, something will click.
Now, this is the L.A. version we're talking about right now, the one that's playing in L.A. You did it also in Chicago, right? Was that different? You were playing...
I started in Chicago, still covering the same three roles.
Okay.
And then I actually left the Chicago company after a year and a half to move out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gone for maybe 2 days, and they called me and said, hey, is there any chance that you can come do the show in Kansas City, which is an hour from my family?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah. They were like, can you play Burr for a couple weeks in Kansas City? I was like, absolutely. Yeah,
wow.
Of course. Like, I can go home and play Aaron Burr in Hamilton. Yeah. So then I did that with a different company. My whole family got to come, and they were like, we're opening the LA company in a year. Will you do that? And I said, well, yeah, I was trying to move to LA when you called me to come to Kansas City. So of course I'll do that. And they're like, well, in the meantime, can you go out on the tour for a couple months? So I've bounced around to every company and played all three roles with all three companies. So
it's just been a while you've been doing all those. That's
yeah.
So let me ask you a question. And look, I know the answer to this because I know all about the Broadways. some people might not know they're listening. No. So if you're going to like Kansas City and then you're going somewhere else like Chicago that are kind of playing concurrently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the choreography exactly the same, or is there slight variances where you might have to learn something slightly different at
Yeah, it's like little, like tiny differences that just become like isms. People are doing the same choreography, but they're going to do it in different ways.
Right.
You know, you get little changes like in this company, you're on center. In this company, you're on two. In this company, like you're a couple of feet more upstage than another company.
Okay.
You know, this company, they do it with the right arm. So for some reason, my brain eventually got to a point where I liked that challenge. Okay, I'm watching it on the plane. I'm watching a recording of the Philip Company in Fort Lauderdale where I'm going to play Lafayette Jefferson tomorrow night. So I'm watching for like the little differences. And I basically base everything off of what I learned. So I'm like, okay, this is different from what I learned in this way. This is different from what I learned in this way. And it became like fun to challenge myself and try to get all those differences. They were cool about it because they're like, you're coming in without rehearsing with this cast.
Right. You know, like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would kind of think that once I had played like Aaron Burr for a good deal of time, I got nothing left to prove on stage, really. I mean, right? I don't know if there's going to be a better part than that somewhere.
Listen, that's my dream role that I didn't even know existed until it came out. Yeah, there's nothing else that I need to do in musical theater. But I will say doing it as much as I have, it never got easy. Like it was always a challenge. There's always something new to learn and it was always different. Especially playing in different theaters. You know, the sound is different in every theater. So it's like, how do I place this where I'm not going to have no voice by intermission? You know?
Oh, yeah. So some of them you've got to really project more because...
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, you know, the sound design is amazing. But in different houses, it takes them some time to figure it out. But, you know, they get the cast for 20 minutes before the show opens on a Tuesday. And then you do the show for an audience.
Mm-hmm.
So they're figuring out as you do the show... You're also figuring out, okay, I can't hear myself here, so I need more of this. And like at least I should speak for myself.
Yeah.
When I'm singing, if I can't hear myself, I start pushing, you know? So then by intermission, I'm like, wow, I'm exhausted.
Yep.
I don't know if I can get through a room where it happens with as much voice, you know? So it's all those challenges and stuff.
Okay, let's say specifically at the Pantages. Is that a place where you kind of have to push?
The weird thing about my job is sometimes I don't get more than one show at a time.
Yeah.
So I don't ever really get to find the pacing. So at the Pantages, I did maybe 4 or 5 shows in a row, but that was kind of in the middle of my 4 months there. So by that time, the sound was all figured out and it was really good. The sound design is amazing and everything sounds great at the Pantages. But for me, it ultimately has to come down to like, I got to like take care of myself. I don't know what the sound is going to be today.
Yep.
I don't know what the person next to me is going to sound like. They might be saving and conserving because they've been doing the show every night and they figured out how to do that. I still don't know how to do that in the Pantages because I haven't done this one role 8 times in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you never really find that consistency. So it becomes about like, I just got to like think about me.
I just think all this stuff is like, you know, it's a lot of stuff I always wonder about, you know, because I've done theater, but nothing at the level that you're doing. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a different thing. Like, for example, also, what's it like? I know right now during COVID, there's not really any backstage stuff where the people, people come back. But when they were, I mean, how was that?
I mean, it depends. There were, like, say Chicago, there would always be people. It was like well, it's a popular show everywhere, but it was a really popular show in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And there would all people would always have guests. You know, someone would always email me or call me and be like, my cousin's sister's boss's friend is there with their six kids. Can you please bring them backstage? And, you know, you want to like give people a good experience. So you do. So sometimes because there's so much happening behind the set, like with props and costumes and all that stuff, they only allow guests to be on the stage.
Oh.
So everybody comes up on stage. So there could be like 100, 150 people on the stage that you're trying to like corral and keep from climbing on the stairs and keep from touching props and stuff like that. But it's fun, you know, especially when you see kids up there that get up there and they all take pictures and poses as the Skylar sisters or something like
that.
Right. You know?
Oh, that's cool. Because I was going to ask you, where do you guys meet? But I guess the stage is the room where it happens.
But I'm bummed.
So dumb. Cool. Well, congrats on that, man. I think it's so cool just to know somebody that did all those different parts. It's amazing to me. And I can't imagine the challenges. And is there a weirdest thing that happened on stage during any of your shows that you remember?
Yeah, like a lot of weird shit happens in live theater, like always. But, the main set, if you haven't seen Hamilton, there's like not a whole lot of scenery that comes on that's not already there. But there are two big turntables in the middle of the stage.
Yep.
And, you know, shit happens. And sometimes those turntables get off. And when they get off, they have to reset themselves before you can continue. So to reset, they spin to where they need to be to reset. And you don't have a say in that.
Oh, wow. So it's
it's happened where like those, they've reset in the middle of a scene and you just kind of have to keep going and go with it. And everybody does. And you just deal with it.
Yeah.
It ends up being fun for everybody, you know?
That's interesting.
It's something different.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I know you were in the original cast also of Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about like two of, I don't know, maybe the two most popular shows in the past 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least, right? How was that? How did you get involved with that? Like, was that?
It was luck. Like, I had seen some of the development of that because one of my best friends, Nikki James, was Nabalungi. She won a Tony for Nabalungi in that show.
Okay.
So I had seen a couple of the development stages of it. And then when it was about to come to Broadway, they were doing one last workshop that I auditioned for. I got it, but I turned it down to do an a cappella musical off Broadway called In Transit that didn't really run that long. But but at the time I was like, I want this challenge. I want to like see what this is about. So they did that workshop without me. And then when the show moved to Broadway, they still called and said, well, will you come and do the show on Broadway? So I did. And I was one of maybe three people who didn't do any of those workshops.
Yeah.
And the show was done. I mean, the show was already, it was brilliant. It was written. So the rehearsal process was basically about getting us up to speed and like little tweaks. I think they added one song. They changed a lot of lyrics and a lot of the dialogue, but there was only like one song added at that point, which is not typical for a new Broadway show.
Yeah. You know? And then you start out in the ensemble,
mm-hmm.
right? Eventually you...
And then I became the doctor in like the second or third year of the run.
So you
and
got to...
I did that show for 7 years off and on. Like they were great. They let me leave. I did a lot of like guest star stuff in New York at the time. And I left to do a couple shows like at Studio Theater in DC, some stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But they were great. They always let me, it was family. Like they always let me come back. And
so you got to do the famous maggots in my scrotum line, which is really funny and really gross. Yeah.
It's really gross when people stop you on the street and they're like, hey, maggots in my scrotum. Especially when nobody around knows what the hell they're talking about.
They're like,
you know?
Like, hey, buddy.
Like, yeah. It's nice to be known as the maggots in my scrotum guy. You know?
Yeah, that's a blessing and a curse, right? It's a cool to be recognized in the thing they're saying to you. The other people
is
like,
it a blessing? I think it's just a curse.
I was trying to be nice. I don't know. Look, you had the thing with the a cappella show. You know, I had a similar thing happen to me with a cappella group named Pentatonix. They wanted me to join, and I said no. I think I made the right choice. I haven't heard of them since. Well, congrats on all this. Oh, you know, you were telling me also, you had a dressing room with Andrew Rannells?
Yeah, when we both did Hairspray together.
Ah, oh, that's
back
cool.
Back in 1925.
Like. Yeah, I remember that one. but look, my family's very hard hit by the Depression.
But people were still paying $100 to come see Hairspray on Broadway.
Correct. You
know? Yeah, we shared a dressing room there. And then we also did Book of Mormon together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I always find him super... I don't think there's anything he can't do. I've seen him do drama. I've seen him be really funny. He can sing. I mean,
you're right. There's nothing he can't. He's amazing. He's always been.
When you're sharing, Is there a certain, I don't know, is there a camaraderie when you're sharing like a dressing room with somebody during a show? Yeah, does it become like a roommate situation?
It's more like family because it's good and then it's not good.
Yeah. Because you're around them too much.
You spend a lot of time with those same people. You spend more time with them than you do your family.
Right.
Especially when you don't live in New York. You know, we work 6 days a week, one day off, 52 weeks a year, you know? So you see them every day. And usually, even on your day off, you end up seeing people you work with.
Really cool that you did all those shows. I'm like I said, I'm kind of in awe of people that do those things. I'm just like, wow, I don't know how you guys do that. I'm an actor myself, but like Broadway and Pantages Amundsen is like, to me, is a whole nother level. You know what I mean? So
it's rough, though. It's a different lifestyle. You know, everybody on Broadway envies people who do TV and film, especially TV, because you get real weekends. I don't know what a real weekend is. I haven't had a real weekend in 23 years. Our weekends are Monday. That's it.
Do you feel like it's similar to, you know, if you're in a band and you're touring, you think it's a similar type? Other than you don't have to travel as much, I guess.
Maybe. Most tours sit down for 2 to 3 weeks. Typically, like some of the more popular ones will sit down for a few months at a time, like Hamilton tours. Some of the, like in the bigger cities, they'll sit down for a few months at a time. Or luckily, like, you know, at the Pantages, we get a year run there, which is pretty unheard of these days, you know?
Right. That is a long run.
So, I mean, it just depends on the show, like what the tour is like. Typically, they're not overnight for union tours. It's not like one-nighters.
Well, we're kind of in the holiday season right now. So I was kind of thinking about this too. And you had mentioned, you know, how the shows don't really stop for the holidays. So it's like when you're on one of those shows, you don't really get, let's say, wherever your family is, you don't really necessarily get a week to go back and visit them.
Right.
So what are those holidays like? Because I imagine you're probably hanging out with your castmates or something similar.
For the most part. I mean, when you're out of town, when you're on tour, it's a little different because the company, like Thanksgiving, they'll throw a Thanksgiving dinner, or Christmas, they'll have like a Christmas dinner for the company, like everybody who's working on the show, backstage, on stage, management. In New York, it's a little different because pretty much they assume everyone is home. But if you're not from New York, you don't really get to be with your family unless you fly home for 24 hours. You know, like we're the entertainment.
Yeah.
So we have to entertain on the holidays when people are available, you know. Thanksgiving is a big week in New York with all the people coming in for the parade. So typically most Broadway shows will do 9 shows instead of 8 Thanksgiving week. So it's just packed. Like sometimes you'll get the day off, but you'll have 2 shows the day before, 2 shows the day after, 2 shows the day after that, and you're just exhausted.
I bet.
You know, but that's when those shows can make money because so many people are in the city at the time. And Christmas, it's the same thing. Typically you'll get maybe Christmas Eve off, or maybe Christmas Day, but rarely will you get both. So I was, like I was telling you earlier, in the last 20 years, I haven't spent more than 2 days home, like with my family for Christmas, except for during the pandemic.
And you grew up in Kansas?
Kansas. Well, I was born in Kansas, in Topeka, and both of my parents were in the Air Force.
Oh.
So I moved around a lot. I lived in England for 4 years, Louisiana, Virginia, and then I was back in Kansas for all of high school.
How old were you when you lived in England?
1st through 4th grade.
So I'm curious, like what, you know, you were 5, you're old enough to kind of remember, right? Like what was that like having that transition to England and then?
I mean, I was a kid, so it just was normal.
You know? Like
there was nothing different about it. And also when you live on a military base, it's a little different because you're around a lot of people from all over the place.
Yeah.
So it didn't necessarily feel like this huge shift. Everyone spoke the same language.
Right. If you're going to school, though, are you going to a normal school off the base?
No, I went to school on base.
On the base.
Yeah.
Okay, so you really are kind of insulated and you're with a lot of American or Air
for
Force
the most
kids.
Part, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there were a lot of British people around. And like when we first moved there, we didn't live on base. So we lived out in this little village called Finching Field. So yeah, we were in the middle of all the British people.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing that you eat that's a normal thing to eat in England that's kind of hard to get here?
The traditional English breakfast is my favorite.
It's okay.
I mean, it's disgusting, but it's like meat and beans.
Yeah.
Which I love. I mean, I think that's like everything you need for breakfast.
I think I know one place you can get that out here.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. There's a place called Robin Hood. Uh-huh. I think you can get it at Robin Hood in the valley here. Don't quote me on that.
I mean, you could probably get them to make it anywhere because it's just like bacon, sausage, and baked beans.
But Robin Hood, which is, I think it's in Sherman Oaks, and you can get like any of those pasties there.
Uh-huh.
Get like the curry pie. Get like a bangers and mash,
mm-hmm.
the treacle
pudding, treacle tart.
Yeah, or you can get like a spotted dick.
Yeah,
custard.
English food is so weird.
It sounds so weird.
It's weird,
yeah.
But it's good. You know, like those. Like I feel like if you're a meat and potatoes person, yeah. you love English food.
Oh, I go to Robin Hood. Well, I haven't been there in a couple years now, just because the bars are all closed for a while, and I just haven't gone back.
Uh-huh.
But I did used to go there a lot. Yeah, they have the nice fish and chips there.
Yeah.
So if you know if you're craving that kind of food, you can go to Robin Hood in Sherman Oaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested in people that lived abroad for a while. I'm kind of jealous of people who got to live abroad for a while. I mean, I've visited Europe. I was in the Navy, so I've seen places for very short amounts of time.
Yeah.
Spain, I think, is my favorite place in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Spain is really fun.
I would love to. I haven't been to Spain. I've been to Italy. Which is amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. I really loved Italy.
That's cool.
And Amsterdam.
Oh, I've never been to Amsterdam. How was that?
Great. I mean, Amsterdam is beautiful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. So you also, you know, like you mentioned a little bit, you worked on some of these shows that are, I consider them very like East Coast shows, Boardwalk Empire, Law and Order, right? I assume they're all like cast out of New York probably.
Yeah, they were all cast out of New York, all shot in New York. I did a bunch of like CBS shows.
The Good Fight, is that Good also Fight, cast out of there?
Madam Secretary.
Madam Secretary. Mm-hmm. I mean, all big shows. What's the biggest difference? This is a stupid question, but what's the biggest difference between like doing something like Hamilton and doing the TV shows? I mean, or what's the thing that you enjoy the most?
Well, you know, the thing that struck me when I first started doing TV is how, this is going to sound terrible, but how spoiled TV actors are.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, when you do theater,
I totally know what you're saying, yeah.
You do everything for yourself.
Right.
Like, nobody holds your hand for anything. And I got to the set for TV and they're like, oh, Mr. Wilson, can we get you a water? Can we do this for you? And they like take you everywhere. They guide you. They're like, we're ready for you on set. And they wait for you. In theater, it's like places. And you got to get yourself there and you do your costume changes and stuff like that. So that shocked me. And I was, and even when I did the first episode of Law and Order, I'm used to rehearsal. I come from theater. I'm used to rehearsing and figuring everything out in rehearsal. And on TV, they don't really do that at all.
Nope.
Really. So I did a read with the two series regulars that were in the scene, read the scene once. That was it. Then they went to hair and makeup. And then they're like, okay, bring in the B team. And the B team is doing, it was like a walk-in talk. And the B team is doing it. And I'm just standing there watching. And I was like, I asked one of the directors. And I was like, can I do it? Can I get up and do it? And it was like, no one had ever asked that before.
Right.
And they were like, well, it's the B team is doing it. And I was like, yeah, but I'm filming it. And I would love to just like walk it a couple times. And they're like, lots of calls on the radio to see if that was possible.
Yeah.
And then they let me do it. And then the guy who was my stand-in, I felt bad. He like looked like he was offended. And I was like, I'm sorry. I would just like to walk it a few times. But I guess people don't do that. That's not a thing that people do in TV.
They hear you and they're talking, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he knows he's going to miss the soba noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care about that. I want to get the blocking. I want to get, but you know, when you're a pro, when you do that much TV, it just comes natural. You know,
I told him we have the spotted dick for dessert. He doesn't care. He wants to do the scene. It is interesting. I don't know if you've been on a TV set recently. It's even weirder with all the mask things, you know, because you'll be masked the whole time until they're like, you know, rolling, speed. Uh-huh. Okay, everyone take your masks off. And sometimes there's a guy that comes around with trays and you have your own tray that you put your mask in.
Really?
And then when they cut, he comes back with your tray and you take your mask and you put it back, you know.
See, it's amazing how efficient that is. Because in theater, we have to wear masks back. Everyone is masked backstage.
Yep.
And a lot of the crew has face shields on too, like especially the dressers who are next to you. But, you know, you're responsible for your own mask and taking it off and putting it on. No one ever stepped on stage with a mask on
Would be interesting.
You know, that would be kind of funny.
Yeah, I think there's a couple reasons, because it is weird. It's a weird thing. I had a whole thing a while back where I was like, oh, man, I felt bad because I went somewhere and then they're like, oh, it's lunch. And then they're like, oh, you have to go in front of all these extras to eat. And I feel so bad because I'm like, oh, why though? And they're like, yeah, but you have to be back there before them.
There's a class.
So there's a reason for it. But the thing with, the thing with, like you're saying with the, they'll go get you the water is like, because I've seen it where like actors will like get lost and then they're like, oh, now we don't know where he is. So it's just easier if they go get the water and bring it back. Because they're like, they know where you are.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's nice.
No, it's nice.
I love being spoiled, it just is so different when you come from theater. You know?
I understand. I mean, it's different than everything else in life, I think. You know, like, okay, you can take my mask. Oh, water. Yes. Still and room temperature. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Because it's easy to be like, oh, well, I can just do it myself. But then, you know, that's somebody's job.
It is somebody's job.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah. But yeah, the whole mask thing is like on and off. It's just like, it takes a lot. I feel like it takes, it's necessary. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We're all trying to stay healthy, but it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I think the days are longer a little bit.
But it's normal now.
I mean, it is.
There are probably a million things over the last 100 years that have just become the norm like that.
Yeah. You know, I was just on a set where they were using one of those little smoke machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was curious. I was like, oh, this is kind of like almost like a kid's teen show that we're on. I was like, I wonder why we're using the smoke machine in this room that doesn't need to be smoking. He's like, a couple things. He said, one, it doesn't look like smoke on camera. It makes it look more like film. Instead of like that soap opera look where it looks real, like you can tell it's on a set.
Uh-huh,
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is they discovered, I guess, those smoke machines, whatever it is, if there's a virus in the air, that whatever that molecule is that comes out of the smoke machine, it kind of covers that stuff up. It envelops. It's a weird thing. He was saying it's like when you make a roux in French cooking. You put butter and something else surrounds the butter, I guess, or something like that when you make a roux. It's a weird thing, but I was like, wow, these science things I would never thought of myself. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool.
So it's cool that everybody has their own job and the things they know, because I don't know any of these things. So.
Right.
Boardwalk Empire, what did you do on that show?
I was a bartender.
Now,
this show was like 20
years
ago.
Was it at the bar? Was it at the bar that they had? The club that somebody had?
Yeah, the club. Yeah.
Okay.
In the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Was that Chalky's Club? Nookie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was Chalky White's Club. Yeah.
Did you ever get to work with Michael K. Williams?
Yeah. That day, he was there. Oh, gosh. Steve Buscemi. And I cannot remember his name, but Steve Buscemi's brother.
Yeah.
Shea
Whigham.
Shea
Whigham. So
he was great, I was like in holding with him. Mm-hmm. We had our chairs next to each other. And I feel like he's from Kansas because I know
I
we talked about.
He is
about,
from the Midwest. Yeah.
He was really cool.
Michael K. Williams, man, he was so talented.
Incredible. Yeah.
And that character on The Wire was just like the best. Like,
everything he did.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he did. Even the last show he did.
Lovecraft Country.
He was so good.
Yep. Wow. It's real sad.
Yeah. It's a big loss.
But I mean, he left behind a great amount of really good work, though. So that's great that we get to see that and we can watch it.
And clearly everybody that worked with him loved him.
Yeah. I mean, his talent was undeniable. It's not one of those guys where people are like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, everyone agrees that guy is great.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, you know, that I saw a thing at the, because The Wire took place in Baltimore, right?
Uh-huh.
So, the Baltimore Ravens, the football team in Baltimore, they took the field to the soundtrack of Omar whistling.
Is
the farmer in the Dell whistling.
Uh-huh.
You know, the little haunting whistling thing he would do, and the people would be like, Omar! Uh-huh. And they take off running. I thought that was really cool, like, tribute that they did to him, man. Like,
oh, man. I hate to praise anything that the Ravens do, because when I was really into football, I was a Steelers fan. Steelers had a tough decade.
They haven't had a losing season, though, in a long time.
No, but they also, I'm talking about football again. They've had a team that they should have been Super Bowl champs like 10 years in a row with the talent they had.
They had a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
They did. And now Big Ben's like too old and...
Big Ben, still there.
Man. Anyway. Well, hey.
A little sidetracked.
Right. Well, before we go any further, we did have a great breakfast at Patty's restaurant.
Patty's, yeah.
Patty's with one T. Isn't that interesting?
Misspelled Patty's.
Yeah, it looks like it's supposed to be Patsy's. Patsy's. Or...
That's what I called it for the longest time, Patsy's.
Or Patty's.
A friend of mine was like, no, it's Patty's.
I should have looked up why it's called that, but I find that it's a great... I always notice the sign. Every time I drive by, I was like, it's spelled wrong. That's spelled wrong.
And this was your first time eating there,
First time eating there. And it's literally, if you guys listen to the show... It's, what, two blocks away from Bob's Big Boy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also almost right across the street from the Sweetgreens, where I get Caesar salads all the time. You know, in between them is Mendocino Farms, another great sandwich place I like.
And oh, yeah.
But yeah, so we both had the Huevos Rancheros.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't had that, it's you got like some corn tortillas. You got a couple of fried eggs on top of that, some refried beans, some Spanish rice probably. And what is there, like ham? No. Is there meat in there? I don't think there was.
No, I don't think there is.
Some kind of like tomato, like tomatillo sauce or something. Yeah. It was really good. And then we also had the, what do you think of the blueberry pancake?
I mean, that's why I go there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been gluten-free for like 11 years when I found out I had a gluten allergy. And I always like look up who has good gluten-free pancakes. And I found Patty's because of that. And they, because I'm obsessed with blueberry pancakes. And they're so good there. So good.
I will agree with you. And I'll say specifically what I loved about it. Well, one, they put the blueberries like inside.
Mm-hmm.
So they're nice and moist and in there. And also they do the thing, which somebody told me, I guess it's with butter or some kind of oil, where they make it a little crispy. The edges and the top are a little bit crispy instead of it just being this soft kind of doughy pancake. You got the little film of crispiness. And that's
on the outside.
That's what elevates a pancake to like, to me, genius level, right?
Yeah. Still soft and fluffy on the inside.
Yep. Definitely soft and fluffy on the inside and a little crispiness on the outside. I mean,
And they will do, they'll do the fruit however you want it. Like you can do the fruit inside, you can do the fruit on top, you could do it on the side, not have no fruit.
I like wherever it's hardest for them to do it, the inside. I'm not doing the outside. That's
make
thing
them
you're
work.
Not doing. That's right.
That's too easy.
Same with when I'm on set and they say, what do you want for breakfast? I want oatmeal, but I want the bacon with it, but inside the oatmeal, not.
And I want it fresh.
And also, I don't want room temperature water. I don't want chilled water. I want it in between, the exact middle point.
You don't know what that is? Figure it out.
Figure it out. And I'll know if you're lying.
Oh, man.
No. Look, thanks for taking me there. It was really nice. The servers were really nice. It's kind of an old school LA vibe, diner vibe that, you know, everyone knows I love that.
But if that's why it feels like New York, like diners feel like New York to me.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I'm from the Midwest and New York was my first experience with real diners. So it feels a little bit like being back in New York.
We had a whole conversation a couple of shows back about the egg cream. Hard to get the egg cream out here.
I don't know. I know that from like TV shows.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's something.
Is it like a shake?
It's like something like seltzer water with some chocolate syrup in it. And that's kind of it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
It's almost like chocolate. It's almost like Yoo-Hoo, but with bubbles.
Okay.
And the first time you drink it, like, why are there bubbles in this thing? Right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. But I always get one when I go to New York.
And it's a popular thing? Like people still?
I don't know if it's still a popular thing, but I think it's a traditional New York thing. I don't know if it's still popular.
Oh, okay. So people get it for like the nostalgia.
Yeah,
or
like how the baked Alaska
just to order
used to be
it.
Very popular.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Although I had that was it Delmonico's in New York?
Uh-huh. That's
that place was super old school when we went there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of those old school restaurants. Oh, there's an Italian restaurant in Times Square that's like family style servings.
Yeah.
I'm never going to remember the name of it, but it's one of those places I knew from like movies and stuff growing up. It was fun to have the experience.
Speaking of New York, there's a lot more good delis, I think, in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some good ones here, and then there's the one that was like the big kind of chain out here called Jerry's Famous Deli, which is like, I guess they're all gone, which is, I thought was insane because there was like so many of them and they were always busy and they were always open till like midnight.
Uh-huh.
And now they're just all gone in LA. I don't understand how some of these staples of a city are just, none of them survived.
But younger generations, do they know anything about delis? Like they probably don't go to delis, you know?
Well, I mean, so like, but this specifically happened like during COVID. Like they like right around then they all went. Now there is Cantor's. Have you been to Cantor's?
Yeah.
Cantor's is, I think, the closest to a New York deli, I think, because it kind of seems old school. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but
I don't know. I guess since I didn't really grow up on delis and stuff, it all, like, I just thought going to the deli was like going to a bodega. And there's bodegas on every corner in New York.
Yeah.
So I went to Katz's. I've been to like those places, but it wasn't the big deal that it is for other people to me.
Do you like a matzo ball soup?
Can't say I do. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I never had it.
Yeah.
There's a place called the Edison Cafe.
Okay.
Oh, it's closed now, actually.
Really?
In the Edison Hotel. It was like old school cafe. There was a play about it called 45 Seconds to Broadway, I think.
Okay.
And they were famous for their matzo ball soup. and people still talk about it. But I never, it was not everything, anything I ever got into.
We talked a little bit about, you had, you did one of the voices on Frozen.
Yeah, I was one of the singing trolls, yeah.
How crazy is that? Because sometimes you know, like, let's say with Hamilton, you know that Lin-Manuel Miranda's involved. Mm-hmm. He's done some big shows already. She's like, this probably has a decent chance of being a big show. But Frozen, I mean, who knows? Like, you're like, yeah. You do this thing and all of a sudden you're like, oh, now it's like every kid. There's probably going to be 10 Frozen movies,
yeah.
TV show.
Well, but we weren't thinking that in the beginning. Like,
that's what I'm
like
saying.
Said, like, nobody knows.
Isn't that weird? Like,
yeah. I mean, you do know that you're singing for an animated Disney movie.
Yeah, of course.
So it could
yeah.
be something, but
right.
nobody knows like how big it's going to be.
Right.
You know, it just so happened I was doing Book of Mormon at the time,
okay.
and Bobby Lopez, who was one of the creators of Book of Mormon, wrote the music for Frozen with his wife and asked me and some of the other people in the cast to just come and sing this song. So it was literally, we had one rehearsal at Stephen Remus, the music director's house, and learned this song. We didn't know how it fit into
yeah.
this. We didn't really know anything other than what they told us. And they
right.
showed us some still images of what the trolls look like. And that was kind of it. The next time we saw or heard it was when we saw it in the theater.
Now, when you see it in the theater, are you able to be like, oh yeah, I can hear my voice?
Mm,
or are there like
no.
just a bunch of goblin voices at the same time?
I guess if I could hear my voice, it means I wasn't blending, but you know. Which is not a good thing. So.
I would say it's very hard for you to not stand out. So,
well, thanks.
No.
But there were a lot of voices.
I
and
guess
then
you're
they
right.
So they also double
you're right.
everything,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really listening that hard.
No, yeah.
I could go back and like try to pick myself out, but
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, look, I'm assuming that you're as egotistical and as I am, and have to like no,
that was
that's,
me. That was that, me.
You
heard it.
That one note, I went off from everyone else. That's me.
I held it a little too
and
long.
Like,
just
me
so
again. Shut up. We're trying to watch the movie. But that was me again. Well, you were talking. Let me rewind it. This, that little growl effect, me.
Yeah. I honestly don't even think about that until some, you know,
right.
13, 14-year-old girl is like, you weren't Frozen? I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I was.
Well, look, you can only go from your own perspective. So it's always going to be a bigger perspective of somebody that's like a fan of something than you that when you shot it yourself. Because it's like, it's a job that I did.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing it.
Well, it's more that it was like 2 days of my life.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I'm in
yeah.
my 40s. Like, that is
yeah.
so little amount of time. Whereas like these shows that I do, I spend years with.
Yeah.
That, I didn't know what it was. I literally just went and sang something. So
right.
I don't, so it just doesn't. Didn't have that big of an impact
yeah.
because I didn't work on it that long.
Yeah.
Even though it's existed for what? That was 2012, 13. Like it's existed for almost 10 years. My part in it was so minuscule. Like
right.
those 2 days.
Before we get out of here,
mm-hmm.
I got to ask you for 3 quick recommendations from Tomar Wilson. What's a hidden gem show that you watch that people may not know?
Hidden gem. I mean, I guess it's not really a hidden gem, but the Great British Bake Off is kind of my obsession.
So
because like I said, it's the stakes are low for me because
yeah.
I don't know how to bake, but
right.
I'm watching people who are good at what they do and
yeah.
they're all so nice and like they make amazing stuff.
Yeah. We just had a whole thing about Queen Amon on the show. Like, I don't know if you remember Queen Amon. They make that.
What is that?
We'll talk about it later. We talk about it so much on the show before, but it's like, it's known as the fattest pastry in Europe.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
It's delicious. You can get some in LA, but it's the Queen Amon. It's a whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, but I just saw that the holiday version of the Bake Off
yes.
is up, and I'm waiting for Tress to get back to town so that I can watch it. Cause,
yeah.
You know,
I haven't watched it yet because I'm going home. I'm going
oh, okay.
back to Kansas, and
right.
my mom is going to want to watch them.
Okay.
So
yeah, the Bake Off, that's a great one. What's something you watch just for fun?
I would say, okay, so I have, what I watch for fun is Into the Spider-Verse.
Woo!
Because
yes.
that movie's amazing.
Yes.
I've probably seen it 20 times now. But I have a sick day movie that I always watch and it's, what's it called? The Day After Tomorrow. Do you remember that movie?
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. I always tell this story about this movie and I always think, and people are always like, that's stupid. I was like, no, this would have made it awesome because there's a whole thing in The Day After Tomorrow. It's like when the earth is freezing
uh-huh.
and if you get caught in the cold thing, you just get frozen.
Yeah. It's like
right?
a second ice age.
Yeah. Second ice age, but it's happening super fast.
Uh-huh.
oh, there's this dog running. It would have been amazing if this dog got caught halfway and the back half of the dog is frozen and it just keeps running and it's got all these entrails like just behind
just
it.
Falling off.
Yeah. I was like, why does that not happen? Somebody has to get caught halfway and continue going, right? Somebody, like a horse has to be running and its tail falls off. That never happened in the movie.
Oh my
That's
God.
What I was missing is the realism in this very real Ice Age type movie.
Not enough realism.
That's right. That is a super entertaining movie to watch, though. Yeah.
It is. I don't know why. I mean, I it's just fun. And also, I'm a sucker for father-son stories.
Yeah.
And like, I guess a father who is going to trek through a second Ice Age to go save his son.
Right.
Like, has a special place in my heart. But for some reason, when I get sick, I want to watch that movie. I want to lay on the couch and watch that
movie. Yeah. Well, if you like those kind of father-son touching shows, you should watch Succession.
Just all love yes. and like warmth.
Anyway, what is a movie or show that inspires you?
Moonlight is the most inspiring movie I've ever seen. I saw it twice the week it came out, and it's just so beautiful. Barry Jenkins is
it's really great,
incredible. It's so beautiful and such like an amazing study in the character of these people.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
absolutely. I'm with you on that one.
And that's I like reading that screenplay too. It's a pretty great screenplay.
Well, thank you for those recommendations. Those are all great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, if you'd like to get more Brentfast stuff, such as pictures of Tomar Wilson and I enjoying our Brentfast from Patty's Restaurant, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances and the official Brentfast store with a bunch of fun stuff. Shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, plaster of Paris, Tomar Wilson handprints at $3.99. It's a bargain, guys. Holidays, you know, even if there's the holidays are past, you can still buy them for a late holiday gift. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the Brentfast store. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Brentfast and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Brentfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 48 other countries. We're so close to 50, guys. And trust me, my breakfast burrito brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all the Brentfast slicing and dicing. Much appreciate. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, for making me sound so good.
Yeah.
Tomar Wilson, where can we find you on social media and what do you got going on?
I am at Tomar W on Instagram, TOMMAR. Mm-hmm. I'm at Tomar Wilson on Twitter. And I don't really know anything about, I don't really know what TikTok is.
Oh, yeah. I tried it. I'm not good at it. And I do it once every 6 months. I like to watch it sometimes, though. There's certain people I watch on TikTok, but I'm not good at the TikTok.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm with you there.
I'll leave it to the kids.
Look, you know. We're both in our 30s now. And so, boy. Tomar Wilson, thank you so much for coming in. So much great inside info and cool stuff that you gave us access to, and I really appreciate it. And it's just fun hanging out with you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This is great.
And with that, we put another nonstop episode of Brentfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.